everyone in here, you've come across those situations. And if you're not, if you haven't, either you're really dumb and you don't recognize it, or you're blind and deaf or something, because our lives fall apart. Our bodies fall apart. Emotionally, we fall apart. Our best friend ignores us, and some people, their mates decide, well, I'm just not going to stay with you anymore. For whatever reason, that happens. Houses burn down. We go bankrupt. We lose our job. We could go on and on and on. And things that which would really would rather not happen in our lives, but they happen. It's part of life. That's the valley. When we're down in the valley, what do we do? When you're halfway up the mountain, what do you do? I've got just, I think, 10 different things that I picked out as kind of key items to saying, this is what you do so that you can remain in the battle. So you can remain in the climb, if you will. Remain so that you're not just get to forget it. I'm getting in my, SUV and going home. Which I don't know what he drove when he got down to the bottom of the mountain, but he got in something and went home. The first thing, and this, if you don't do this one, just forget all the rest of them. Don't even bother with the rest of them. None of them make any difference. You need to anchor yourself in the Word of God. The Word of God needs to be the very basis for what you do and what you are. It needs to be the very thing that if without the Word of God, there isn't anything else. If you don't have a time that where every day that you go and seek the Lord every day, then that whole day you're not seeking the Lord. I'll just go do what I want to do today. It doesn't really matter what the Lord wants. I thought about asking who had some time this morning already with the Lord, but I figured that might get embarrassing. He laughs because he knows what would happen. That's probably not a good idea. If I'm going to be able to walk with the Lord today, if I'm going to be able to be a servant of God today, if that's what I want, I have to get His instructions for the day. If I was to walk into where I work and not bother to go over to the help desk and say, okay, what is it you need done today? Just wander around the store for a while. Maybe I'll go sit down in the shoe department and put my feet up and try on shoes. What would be the difference? I mean, nothing's getting accomplished. I didn't go and find out what needed to be done for the day. If I didn't go get the Lord's instruction, get His input, and to get His Holy Spirit and that power to accomplish those things, there's no possibility that this day is going to end up in service to the Lord. And if today doesn't, why should I bother tomorrow? And if that day doesn't, why should I bother next week? And how long is it going to take before none of the other things make any difference? If you don't have a time that you go, and it can be 5 minutes, it could be 2 minutes. I dare you to try and spend 2 minutes in the Word of God. Not going to happen. If you're looking for something, you're looking for the Lord to lead you, maybe He'll be satisfied with 2 minutes, but you won't. The Word of God is so full of richness, is so full of blessing that once you start, you don't want to stop. I can ask this one. How many of you have been in the Word of God and said, it's time to leave for work. I have to close this and I really don't want. You can raise your hand then. That's happened. That happens very often. If I don't receive something from the Lord today, if I hadn't received anything from the Lord today, I have to go on my own wisdom and my own power, the things which I think I know how to do. That's pretty sad. I'm not totally ignorant of everything, but I've seen what happens when I decide to do things on my own. I've seen the way that I end up going. The way I end up thinking. I've seen the tremendous effect I have on other people. None, if I don't find out, Lord, what do you have for me today? That's the first thing. Anchor yourself in the Word of God. Find a time. Make a time. If you'll do that, then these other things are pretty easy. And if you don't do that, a year from now, there's a good chance you're not going to be here, except this might just be your social outlet. You could go down to the VFW, you could go to the Raritan Club, you could go to any one of those number of places like that and have just as much of a time. Just have just as much fellowship. But never hear from God. You're not going to hear from God here if you haven't heard from Him at home first. Not going to happen. The second thing, this is kind of important. Be at every service you can be at. For some odd reason, I don't know why, but in the Word of God, it says God uses the foolishness of preaching to reach the lost. And He reaches us through the foolishness of preaching. Why He calls it foolishness, I'm not really sure. But He does. It doesn't have to make sense to us, does it? Also says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Why do we have so many services? I mean, you're here at Sunday school. That's, you know, this isn't specifically for you, but if you want to be here a year from now, if you want to have the most effect you can on those people around you, be here. That message which could have helped you last Wednesday if you weren't here, it's online, but it's never the same. It's available. You may be able to pick it up someplace else, but did the Lord impress the preacher to bring that message for no reason? No, there's a real specific reason. He put that in thoughts. He put the message together so that He could help somebody. And if it was you and you didn't show up, now the Lord does understand. The Lord knows all about, I can't make it. He knows all about that. He knows all about that you have to work. He knows all those things that prevent us from being at a service. And there's a couple people that I actually pray that they'll lose their job. And I think I've told you this, that they lose their job so that they will be able to be in service. Now, I don't want them to be penniless and broke, but the Lord can provide them a job where they can be in services. And if not, well, then they need to be settled with this. Where the Lord wants me. You know, make plans to be renewed at every service to find, when you get here, God, what is it that you want have for me in this service? Third thing is set some reminders. Some things that just show up and you know, well, this is something which God did. If you hear a message which really has touched your heart, well, get a copy of the message. There's going to come a time where you're going to be down in a valley and you're going to want to remember, well, God, this, I don't have to be down in this valley. I can be up on that mountaintop. I've got one message that I listen to probably once a month. It's not even a Baptist message. It's a funeral message. This black preacher who happened to hang around with preachers that we would think with, like Martin Luther King, and preachers that we probably wouldn't have fellowship with. Except he chose to serve the Lord instead of trying to make a big show. He was preaching his wife's funeral. And his whole point was that the Lord gave her to me and the Lord took her away. How can I do anything but serve the Lord? No matter what happens, how can I do anything but serve the Lord? Went through the book of Job. It was only about a 15-minute message. But he's a black preacher. Ever been at a black church? You can't do anything but get excited there, can you? Excited or, wait a minute, look back. That's the kind of preacher he is. But it's an exciting message. Put some reminders. If you have them, get a copy of the message and keep it. Listen to it. Second thing, if you don't know what day you were saved, find out. Figure it out. You may not be able to get it right down to I was saved at 2 o'clock on June 22nd. You may not be able to get that, but you can know I was saved at that church right there in that seat, and it was sometime in the 90s. That may be the only thing you can figure out, but you know where you were saved, how you were saved, when you were saved. You know you were saved. And write it in your Bible. Because how many times do you open your Bible and say, oh yeah, there's that. Oh, you shouldn't be opening your Bible. Look at those notes. Write it down. If there's a preacher that comes that brings a message that, man, I've never heard a message like that. Well, get him to sign your Bible. Put a note next to it. This is what he spoke about. That's why I handed out those ribbons last week. Why? Not because this is the greatest message ever. I mean, But set reminders. When were you baptized? You need to know that. We know when our great-grandchildren's birthdays are. All of us can, you know, exactly. You may even know the time and how big they were. But do you know when you were saved? Do you know when you were baptized? Do you know when was the last time the Lord spoke to you? This is the Lord speaking to me. Now, as important as grandchildren are, the Lord speaking to me is so much more important. I mean, I can write down a birthday and I can go back and I can look at it, okay, but I need to know that the Lord spoke to me. Set reminders. When you come across a verse that's important, write it down. Learn the verse. Why do you have this verse? Not just open your Bible and find, well, there's a nice verse. I think I'll memorize that. No, this verse has moved my heart. That's setting a reminder. Another thing, make some good Christian friends. Have a relationship with just a two or three people that you know serve the Lord. Don't try and find somebody that comes once a week, if that, and you're going to share your innermost, deepest secrets with those people. Not a good idea, first of all. But find somebody. I've got two men in the church that I share quite a bit with. I talk to them quite a bit. We send texts back and forth. We send emails back and forth. I'm quite confident I can tell them about anything. Then I do tell them a lot of things that probably I really don't want you to know. And why is that? Because I want them to look out for my soul. I look out for their soul. If there's something not going on, if I don't have that correspondence with them, something's going on. Because they surely don't want what they're thinking about brought out in the light to what I would see. Not that I'm their judge. I'm their friend. What does the Bible say about a friend that pulls a brother out of sin? They saved that person's life. If I get in situations where I know I'm not doing right and I continue on that way, somebody is going to know something's wrong. They're watching out for my soul. If they do it, I'm watching out for their soul. Find somebody that you can trust. And probably it's not going to be your husband or your wife or someone like that. It's going to have to be someone outside because they're not going to be afraid to say, hey, what's going on? I haven't heard from you in a week. I haven't heard from you in 2 weeks. Remember, we used to share all these things and you're not saying anything now. Something's going on. And the Holy Spirit's going to be right there and tap on my shoulder. Yeah, you're right. Something's going on. This is what it is. Find yourself a couple friends that you can encourage, that you can give permission to challenge you when you need to be challenged, to sound the alarm when something's wrong, or you just want to continue on doing what you were doing. There is nothing better than sweet fellowship between two Christians saying, we want to serve God, both of us want to serve God, and I want to make sure that you continue to serve God, and I want you to make sure I continue to serve God. We're just flesh. To think that you're going to be able to go on through life and not fall, you're going to fall. And surely the Lord will be right there to help you get back up, but it's so much nicer to have somebody there saying, you tripped. Let me help you up. Not only did you trip, you fell flat on your face, and if we don't do something, if something doesn't change, you're going to be drowned in the mud. That's what a friend will do for you. Commit. The third, next thing, number five, commit to a purpose. Sounds kind of vague, isn't it? You know, God created you. Any argument there? Probably not. But He created you for a specific purpose. He wants you to glorify His name and glorify Him and to be a friend to Him and have fellowship with Him. That's the ultimate goal of our creation, is for, so He could have fellowship with someone that wanted to have fellowship with Him. There's nothing wrong with going to God and saying, I feel I'm useless. I feel there's nothing I can do. And if you're still here, that's not right. You know, make yourself useful in the church. Make yourself, and that doesn't happen by accident. It's no accident. Pick on, well, I told Don I wasn't going to pick on him today, so I'll pick on Wesley. It's no accident that Wesley's out there with the bulletins trying to make you shake his hand before you take the bulletin. That just doesn't happen because he gets up in the morning and says, I think I'll go. No. Did that just happen all of a sudden one day, or did you kind of make yourself to do that? You made yourself do it. And now it's second nature to you. But what, you know, what can you do? You, if nothing else, you can find somebody that's not here today and send them a card and say, I missed you. Anybody here not able to do that? I mean, that's pretty easy. That's pretty simple. And how many of you like getting a card in the mail saying, I was thinking about you? Does that, I mean, that's exciting, isn't it? Still old U.S. Post Office. And if you can't do that, if you don't do email, that's fine, but you can send an email. You could actually call them. That works too. And if all those things failed, you can go to the Lord and say, Lord, they weren't here today, and I was concerned about that. You could, now this is an odd one, it's going to rain this afternoon. You could be the person that hands an umbrella to the people. Greet people in the parking lot, greet them in the foyer, and big surprise, you could ask the Lord, what do you want me to do here? And seeing this, I'll just go on and do nothing. I don't have time to bother with that right now. Just, no, do you suppose He might just answer you? Number six, I got 10 points. We're at six and we got 10 minutes, so we'll probably get there. Always be in preparation for some greater service. Something which the Lord may have you do. Maybe your plan is, maybe your plot is going to be that you're going to be a church member that shows up at every service from now on. But it might be that the Lord calls you to a mission field. It might be that the Lord puts you in a Sunday school class. It might be that the Lord makes you someone who's so concerned about other people that they have a long list of prayer requests of those, of everybody they can find, and they bring those prayer requests before the Lord every day. That might be what the Lord has you do. What is it? There really is no end of what there, things there are to do. Brother Don goes to the nursing home quite often, and he would not complain if you showed up. The people that are at the nursing home would not complain with having you sit next to them and say, hi, how you doing? And that's all you have to do. And you'll make their day. Just sitting there saying, hi, how you doing? And they may not even answer you, but they'll be thrilled you're there. What, there are things that you can do. It doesn't matter what your health is. It doesn't, God has something for you. Believe me, when God's done with you, you're going home. If He's not done with you, then it's time to sit home in your, you know, in the smallest room in your house with all the blinds drawn and just say, woe is me, I'm undone. That's not exactly right, is it? Another thing which I think is maybe not the most, really an important thing, Be persistent through opposition. Another kind of vague title. Do you suppose it's going to happen anytime in the next year that somebody and you are going to be disagreeing about something? Here, it might be that you might not like what they said or what they did, that you might or they might not like what you said, or you both have the same dress on and you don't. I'm not changing my dress. You change your dress. Now that would never happen, would it, ladies? Yeah, that would happen. You know, when someone else in the church does or says something that you could respond negatively, remember that we're just flesh and they are just flesh. What did you expect? Did you expect that you were going to have the perfect words to say of encouragement to every person that you meet here? Or that they were going to always be, you know, friendly and cheery and they're always going to be up on top on top of everything with just the right words to encourage you every time they meet you? Probably not. If you are, you're living, you know, in Disneyland or something like that. I'm not sure where you are. It's certainly not here. You know, the world expects certain levels of behavior and makes laws so that this is how you must behave in this situation. You can't do this and you have to do this. And the Word of God has laws like that, and real quickly it shows you can't obey them. You're not capable of following these laws. God also has a law, and we recognize we can't follow it, but then he gives us the answer. He says, that's not the whole point of everything. The point is the Lord Jesus paid for all that, and you can have fellowship with that person because he did the same thing for them. They're nothing but flesh, and you're nothing but flesh, and you're just a sinner saved by grace, and they're a sinner saved by grace. So why couldn't you possibly get along? The Lord Jesus did it all anyway. He took care of all that wickedness that you see in that person, and he took care of all yours. Woo-hoo! How exciting. That's exciting. The people that we have fellowship with, it doesn't matter if Don's ugly, you know? One of the last things, be organized. I've been working with just a couple men in the church for a year about, not this year, on what is called a stewarding life planner. It's a system to set up spiritual goals, find out what is it that I believe the Lord would have me do this year. What specifically is my purpose here? Just laying out and writing it down, said, this is what I believe God would have me do. And then go about, well, this is how you go about doing that. To track, you know, our progress. You know, just doing something, being busy, will not get the job done. I can be at every service. I can have a prayer time and a Bible reading time every day. I can pass out, you know, 15 tracts every day, and I can go on and on, different things that I'm supposed to do. But just as being busy. Now, Mr. Reed has a pretty big farm, right? It's, I don't know how many, he's got a pretty big farm. Him and his son worked at farm, and if I'm not mistaken, maybe a month ago or so, he started plowing one of his fields. And he would go and plow one way and then plow back the next way, trying to keep the rows straight, reasonably straight. And he would continue on that one field until he was done with that field. But just suppose that, and maybe when he was teaching his son, this probably might have happened. We got down that way, came back this way, and he glanced over and he saw the gutter on the house needed to be painted. So he said, okay, that needs to be painted. So he heads the tractor off toward the house. But halfway to the house, he realizes, you know, I'm going to need a ladder to get that done. So instead of going in right to the house, he says, well, I have to go over to the other shed because that's where I left the ladder. So he heads over there. And then halfway over to there, he realizes, you know, I don't have paint. So yet again, he turns and goes toward the truck to get in the truck to go into town to buy paint. And by that time, the sun's gone down and the field is not plowed. Now, I don't think that's not the way he works, probably. Probably not. Although you will realize the gutter needs painting, the ladder's over there, I don't have paint, and the truck's over there. What's your job right now? To plow the field. That's what is stewarding life, organizing. Get organized. What, God, what do you want me to do? What is it that you want me to do? I keep going back to that. It's between you and God. What does God want you to do? If you're doing and you know you're doing what God would have you do, it's really not real hard to keep continuing it. If you don't know that, then it's only because you want to do it. So you can either want to or I don't feel like doing it anymore. When you know God wants you to do it, it doesn't really matter how you feel. If it's how you want to do it or how you feel, then it really doesn't matter what God wants. I want to do it. Have a prayer list. It's the next thing. This maybe should ought to be near the top. I don't know. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all supplication, all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. When I put a little devotion out last week, I think it was, pointing out that the last part, you know, the whole armor of God, we could probably list out what they are. The last thing in the armor of God, so let's turn there. This is kind of important. It's Ephesians 6:18. Ephesians 6:18. That's in here somewhere. Ephesians 6:17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that's usually where we stop, isn't it? But what's right after the word of God? What is those two little dots? That's a colon. What does that mean? There's more information here. Don't stop reading here. I'm going to explain this a little more. And what's the next thing he says? Praying always with all prayer and supplication. All these, we think we're getting all ready to meet the day because we have our pocket Bible in our pocket. We have our sword with us and we've got the helmet of salvation on and we've got the, all those other things with us. And what is, he's, and all those things, and don't forget that praying on in all. Prayer is the closing, the final thing that God says to, don't forget this. What's, when our children are going off to school or wherever they're going off, the last thing you say to them, usually is the most important thing. Not that you haven't said it before, but this is what I want you to do. Don't forget this. Because that's the thing I want you to remember. That's the last thing, adding it on there. You know, if we have a God that answers prayer, and one of those prayers that could be said would be something that I should be praying, and God's going to answer some, he's going to answer prayer, it might very well be the reason that that prayer is not answered right yet is because I didn't pray about it, or you didn't pray. Other people's souls and needs are dependent on what? How can they be dependent on me? But they are. How can they be dependent on me going to God saying, God, this person's not saved. This person is having a really difficult time. This brother over here, or this sister over here, this is good. Why is it that things don't get answered? Well, probably because we never asked. That's a pretty big principle in the Bible, isn't it? The last thing we're going to do is deal with sin. Folks, don't think that you can sin willfully and continue on. Hebrews 10:26, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a fearful looking for judgment and fire indignation. You know, there's a specific sacrifice in Leviticus chapter 4, and Job exercises it. It's a sacrifice for sins that we don't know about. Things that we did against the law, which we really didn't know about. We did them in ignorance. Are they still sin? They are still sin, and the sacrifice covers those, and that's fine. They're covered. They're taken care of. But once you know that that's a sin, that sacrifice doesn't cover it anymore. Then it's time for you to go to one of the other sacrifices, which pays for it. Now, Lord Jesus Christ is both sacrifices. He's all sacrifices. But don't think that you can live in sin and be able to continue on in the work of the Lord. You're not in the work of the Lord if you're living in sin, a sin that you know of, something that you know. And I don't know them. I don't have to know them. That's the thing the Holy Spirit points out, that fearful looking for judgment, that fear, that unsettled of your spirit, knowing there's something wrong and I haven't got it straight. I know God's coming for me. He hasn't got here yet, but he's coming, and I know it. Maybe I've got another week. Now I can go another day. I don't have to take care of that yet. He's not coming today. That judgment's not coming right yet. Maybe not. Maybe so. What a way to live, though. To be fearful that today might be the day that God is going to judge that sin. It could be. Today could be the day that God's going to judge your sin. Now, either he can judge it and look and say, oh, Lord Jesus already taken care of that, let's go on. Or he can say, I've got to do something about this. Not to be flippant about the way God thinks or talks, but God looks down and says, they haven't dealt with it. I have to. They haven't taken care of it. I've got to put this in their life to change to get them to turn around. I've got to make them really sick. I've got to take somebody in their life away. I've got to cause them to lose their job. God works all kinds of ways. He uses everything around us to change us. But wouldn't you way rather say, God, I really don't have any excuse. Here I am again. Forgive me and we'll go on. And he'll forgive you and you can go on. Or do you want to stand up and say, not today. Deal with your sin. You're accountable for every sin, every evil thought. Sin's like owing the IRS. We just got done filing taxes. And if you owe the IRS and just put a little note, I'm not paying this. I don't think I owe this much. I'm not paying it. They're not going away. Yeah. They're not going away. Our sin will be dealt with one way or the other. If we want to continue on in the work of the Lord, a lot of things come into play. But the first thing, get your Bible open in the morning. If you have to go to bed at 6 o'clock so you can get up at 4 in the morning to do that, that's what you have to do. Before you do anything, find out, God, what do you want of me today? Do you want me to do something today? If you'll do that, where would he be most pleased for you to be? Where you can serve him. He's going to make sure you can stay here or in a place of more import to him. Let's pray and we'll go on. Father, we thank you for your love and goodness toward us.